Hello and welcome to the Ryersonian This Week, a weekly newscast focusing on Ryerson-related news. I'm Michael Delamonte.
And I'm Bryce Turner.
And together with Ricardo Serrano and the Ryersonian staff, we will be bringing you the news you need to know.
Throughout today's broadcast, you will listen to what Ryerson students think about the newest darling of Canadian politics, a racist poster appearing on campus, the Ryerson women's curling team's victory plans for this season, and more.
But before all of that, let's start things off with, in case you missed it, a roundup of last week's top stories that might have flown past your radar.
Metrolinx announced a plan to install free Wi-Fi networks in GO Transit trains back in June, but commuters still don't have internet access. No new updates have been released, but Metrolinx media relations specialist Scott Money says the company is making efforts towards free Wi-Fi for commuters.
So bringing free Wi-Fi to trains and buses, there's a lot of logistical factors. We have to first find a partner and then find out what the logistical requirements would be.
For more on the story and why Ryerson students need Wi-Fi on GO trains and buses, check out this week's TV edition of Ryersonian This Week.
The Trudeau government revealed the tax rate on marijuana this week at a rate of 10%. Dubbed a sin tax, a 10% fee will apply when purchasing more than 1 gram of marijuana. A charge of $1 will apply when buying a single gram. Marijuana producers are on board with the tax, but how do Ryerson students feel? Ryerson reporter Aidan McNabb decided to find out, and you can find out what students are saying at ryersonian.ca.
This week, an anti-immigrant group plastered a poster on Gold Street. The incident has brought attention to the issue of discrimination against immigrant students at school. Ricardo Serrano has more on the story.
This past Monday, an anti-immigrant poster appeared on a board outside the student campus center. The poster had derogatory messages toward those who are not of European and Western descent. Ryerson Student Union Vice President of Equity, Cambrian Harlick, removed the poster from campus that same morning. The message was signed by Generation Identity, a white nationalist group that claims to defend traditional Western values. For Harlick, there is no space for this kind of messages at school.
Racism happens every day on campus. So definitely it's something that I've noticed since starting my term. I don't think I've gone one day on this campus without observing or seeing or hearing some form of racism. White supremacy holds absolutely no place on our campus, and we shouldn't be making any space where white supremacy is tolerated, listened to, or heard at all.
The group gained media attention last June after hiring a boat on the coast of Malta that was used to block and deport Syrian refugees who were trying to enter Europe by water. The Canadian chapter of Generation Identity was created in 2014 and defines its mission as a response to Canada's decaying identity, increased third world immigration, and rising crime rates. Although it is the first time this group's poster has appeared on campus, it is not the first time that Ryerson's student community has been the target of anti-immigrant and anti-POC messaging. Ryersonian journalist Donia Sayi's story about this incident is up on ryersonian.ca. She says the school has been a constant target of similar groups.
A couple of years ago, there was a white student union that was trying to recruit members at Ryerson, at U of T, at York. There have been other posters that have appeared after Trump's election around the city, including on our campus, taking aim at immigrants or talking about reclaiming European heritage.
Ryerson has a sizable number of immigrant and international students who are likely to feel threatened by such messages. The RSU is encouraging students to contact its equity office if they spot discriminatory posters or behavior. For Ryerson News, I am Ricardo Serrano.
It's nearly the end of Mental Health Week, and a major part of mental well-being is regular physical activity. Being active at least 30 minutes a day can reduce stress and anxiety and offset depression. But for some students, heading into the rack for a workout can be a stressful experience, especially if you're a female student. That's why women-only hours are at the rack, a way for female students to feel comfortable when working out.
Sorry guys, it's women's-only hours.
Every weekday at the rack, for an hour and a half, men are kicked out and kept out of the fitness room. It's called women's-only hours, an initiative launched last year to carve out space for students who identify as female in a setting largely dominated by men. Andrew Pettit, Ryerson Recreation Director, elaborates.
Because the spaces can be physically dominated by men, men can take up, you know, owning and feeling ownership of women's bodies. It's not exclusive to us at Ryerson, but certainly we'd be foolish to believe it doesn't permeate our walls here.
Rebecca Z, a TRSM student who works at the RAC, has seen this firsthand.
Some of the guys are more intimidating in the sense that they're more stern and more firm on what they say, and sometimes they're sexually objectifying women there.
Rebecca also says that mixed hours are far more busy, and groups of men tend to take up all of the machines and equipment. That can make the gym even more stressful for a student who isn't a regular gym goer. That's why Cindy Quach enjoys working out during women's hours.
For me, I find it more welcoming. I find that the environment there is just more peaceful, more calm, and we're kind of just minding our own business, so it's more positive.
Not all female Ryerson students feel the same way. Priscilla Guem, a Ryerson student who regularly frequents the gym, finds mixed hours energizing.
I feel like there's a greater intensity when the men are working out. So when I'm in the environment, when they are there, I want to push myself harder because I see other people are pushing themselves a lot more.
And while many male students understand the need for women's only hours at the RAC, others don't quite understand. RAC student employee Kiana Heidel has had to deal with disgruntled male students.
Obviously, some men have an issue with it because they're like, oh, where are men's hours? They think it's like cross-discrimination, but that was never the intention. It was because men, when you look at like hours that are open to everyone, it's like 90% men.
Of course, working out isn't the only way to get regular physical activity. Intramurals and group fitness classes are other resources students, both male and female, can access. Speaking of, the Ryerson women's curling team is back. Coming off of a silver medal in the Ontario University Athletics, or OUA, championships last season, the Rams are set to dust off their brooms and return to competition, where they will once again look to rock this season. Let's hurry hard to Bryce Turner with more.
It's a Monday night at a North York curling club, and tryouts are taking place for the Ryerson women's team. Starting October 17 will be a weekly curling league where the Rams will face a variety of Toronto-based teams. Nicole Titkai plays vice on the team.
It gives us a really great range of talent and skills. I think being in the league like this really helped us few different strategies, different techniques, and really have that kind of in the back of our mind while we're preparing to play against the bigger teams, bigger competition.
Part of that bigger competition last year was the OUAs. Finishing fourth in their pool with 4 wins and 3 losses, Ryerson faced undefeated Brock in the quarterfinals. A win against Brock and a victory over Carleton in the semifinals sent the underdog Ryerson team to the gold medal match. The team came home with the silver after losing to Laurentian. Here's head coach Perry Marshall.
Oh, I think we were more than elated with that result. Most people, we weren't even on the radar scope, not even on the map for competitive curling, and to do that in the face of some very strong programs was a very good feeling.
Even after the strong run last year, their expectations remain the same heading into this season.
I think we have very realistic expectations. You know, the level of curling at the university level continues to grow every year. Just the abilities of these athletes, where they're coming from, the types of programs that they've been in the past. You have to, you know, continue to maintain that standard and try and exceed it.
In addition to the Tuesday Curling League, the Rams organize a development league on Thursday nights, where they face off against other post-secondary schools and some under-18 teams. And while the OUAs aren't until February, Ryerson just may be on the competition's radar now.
I think there's going to be a bigger target on our backs when we walk into the provincial tournament this year. People are going to know us.
For more on the curling team's silver medal win, their teamwork, and thoughts heading into the season, check out my article at ryersonian.ca.
Now let's move on to the interview portion of our show. He's charismatic, can take a great selfie, and is a contender in the 2019 federal election. No, not Justin Trudeau. We're talking about the newly elected NDP leader, Jagmeet Singh. Already making waves in the political sphere, Singh is also a favorite among young voters. Ryerson reporter Jacob Kapp went out and asked Ryerson students how they feel about Singh and what he means to Canadian politics. Jacob joins us today to discuss the NDP leader. Welcome, Jacob.
Hi, thanks.
So you went to go talk to Ryerson students. What is the general consensus? How do they feel about Singh?
Yeah, I've talked to a lot of people about this, and some words that keep coming up in conversation are charisma, personality, and character. People are really, really excited to have him as the party leader. There's a real sense that he's going to reinvigorate the party and breathe some new life into it and make politics more appealing to younger people.
Okay, and we actually have a clip of one of the students who spoke to, a student by the name of Martin Fox. Let's hear from him.
Really excited for him to actually start using his appeal and his sort of just how attractive he is to young people, the way he operates, and actually start introducing some really serious progressive policies.
What are some of these progressive policies that Fox just kind of mentioned?
Yeah, I mean, Singh has called for the elimination of tuition fees for students in Canada through the creation of the Post-Secondary Education Act. He's also called for some sort of debt relief for students. And this is in an attempt to allow students to focus on what they should be focusing on in school, learning, being creative, as opposed to being bogged down by financial concerns.
Okay, and are there any other policies that are more student-centric?
He has some policies when it comes to drugs on campus, really just making campus a safer place and a place where students really can focus on what they're here to do as opposed to worrying about health and tuition fees.
And is it true that students and the youth in general are really kind of galvanizing around Singh?
Yeah, for sure. The interesting thing now is that when Justin Trudeau came into federal politics, he was the young guy in politics. And now, all of a sudden, after two nomination races, he's the oldest leader of a major federal party in Canada. So the political landscape in Canada is really shifting. It's getting much younger. And people are really excited about this. It's a good thing, I think, for students, and we'll see a lot more engagement in the next federal election.
And on that, he's never actually had a federal position. So some people say he's kind of too inexperienced to run for something like prime minister. What would you or Singh say to that?
Yeah, so he's been a member of provincial parliament for several years. He's also acted as the deputy leader of the provincial NDPs. So he's never led a party for sure, but he does have some leadership experience. He was a lawyer in the past, but I think that it seems like he's the type of personality that will do well at the helm of a federal party.
Obviously, if elected, Singh will be the first visible minority to ever achieve the role of prime minister. How do people feel about that? And do you and the people you talk to think that'll actually change Canada?
Yeah, the sense I've gotten is that people are really inspired by this. It sort of paves the way for more people to enter politics. People who think maybe they couldn't in the past now have a sense that they can. Whether you're a person of color, whatever it might be, Singh is an example of someone who sort of overcame some barriers and is now really influencing real change in Canada. So I think it's been influential for a lot of people.
And some people have described Singh as the new Jack Layton. For people who aren't that well-versed in the political sphere, what does that mean, and is that a good comparison?
Yeah, he really has the power to engage people, to speak to people. I think we've seen in the past some leaders of the New Democratic Party not the most charismatic, not as able to bring in support, especially from young people. And so I think now with Singh, we will see some new life in this party. And we might go back to when the NDP was really successful and became the official opposition. So I think this is a good thing. And definitely the comparisons to Jack Layton are there.
Okay. And last question, are you a Singh supporter?
I really like him. I think he's exciting. I could definitely see myself supporting Singh in the next election. We'll see he hasn't run for a federal seat yet. He doesn't have a federal seat. He has to do that before he's gonna lead a party. But once he does and once everything's in place, I could see myself being a Singh supporter. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Jacob. That's all the time we have.
Great. Thanks very much.
Next week is Reading Week, and it's also Thanksgiving weekend, so you may find certain spots on campus closed in the coming days. To make sure you don't encounter an unwanted locked door, here's what's open and what's closed this coming week. Ryerson's Library and SLC will be closed on Thanksgiving Monday, but will operate regularly for the rest of the week. There are also plenty of events happening in the city all throughout our week off, and you can check out the Ryersonian's Reading Week to-do list piece online to find out where you should be going.
And that is Ryersonian This Week for October 2nd to 6th. For the latest on Ryerson-related news, be sure to head to ryersonian.ca and follow us on social media.
This newscast will also be available online. You can access it every week by subscribing to us on iTunes Podcast and Google Play. A special thanks to the Ryersonian reporters who made this newscast possible, Angela Glover and RSJ's fantastic production team, and our guest. I'm Bryce Turner.
And I'm Michael Delamonte, and on behalf of the Ryersonian team, thanks for listening.